You're listening to another episode of VGCast. VGCast, of course, is our video game podcast where we digest the latest video game news in our changelog, where we chat about what we've been playing in our game queue, and what to look forward to in the world of the gaming industry. I'm your host, Brad Johansson, and with me today is our Christmas buddy, our New Year's co-host, Troy Giles. What's up, man?
Not much. Literally, nothing much at all.
kind of like this past week's video game news, right?
Past couple weeks, actually.
It's like everyone's been celebrating a holiday or something.
Yeah, well, you know, it's nice to have a break sometimes.
That's true. I mean, a few weeks ago, we were complaining about there was like too much news.
Yeah.
And now it's back to a bit of a dry spell, so... But that's okay. There are things to talk about nonetheless. So let's jump right into how we start our show every single week or every other week with our changelog. So Troy, changelog is where we talk about the number one or number two or number three, probably just number one this time, news stories that got us most excited, that are most critical. So what's on the top of yours?
Well, I guess I'll go with the one that it didn't affect me at all too much, but it made me a little worrisome and had me put my Steam offline mode. Well, Steam went crazy this past weekend. I believe it was this weekend. Yeah, it was this weekend, Saturday, where apparently it just got overloaded with people because it is winter sale going on, and I guess Steam wasn't able to handle the influx of people. Maybe there was just a bunch of people just off from the holidays. Maybe there were just a lot of people trying to get games off the mediocre Steam sale. But a lot of people ended up with their Steam starting off in Russian and Hungarian for some reason. It's kind of scary, actually, for some people, because people thought that, you know, oh no, my account's, you know, been authorized by someone else or something like that, you know, it's going to get hacked by somebody else. But luckily, it was nothing that severe. The only things most people had access to were name, and if you had any money in your Steam wallet, that's when you had a problem.
Yeah, I think there were some reports that people were given access to their addresses and telephone numbers.
Yeah.
Which, and even some cases, the last four digits of their credit card, which I think maybe it was Kotaku had pointed out that would be enough to hijack someone's Netflix account. So I feel like it's not, I mean, that would suck if that happened to me or you or anyone I know. That would be awful. But at least it's not quite as severe as something like Target being hacked, where potentially millions of people's full credit card information, still any personal information like that. And this is really silly, right? It's like, essentially, if you logged into Steam and you were logged into my account by accident and you saw, or just any of your friends' accounts, and you could have access to everything they've ever purchased, access to their address, their telephone number, that kind of thing, that would be very weird and very strange. And you could probably see the maliciousness of people out there already.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if people were really that malicious, or if people actually even logged on to Steam to even realize that it happened also.
Yeah, that was that's something that I was really interested in. Have you been notified of anything?
No, of course not.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I don't think they've notified anybody. Like, I think that was one of the news articles that actually was talked about today on some, I think it was Kotaku also, that no one's actually notified any of the Steam users that what exactly happened. So, I mean, all we know is what they've reported on and everything like that, but nothing, no type of email or even a message through Steam stating what has happened or what occurred during that week, that weekend or that day. So it was just a little odd. And it was just kind of funny to think that there were reports that this group called Phantom were going to take down PlayStation Network and Xbox Live during the Christmas holiday, like pretty much like last year when it was a different hacking group that took it down last year. But instead, it turned out that Steam got taken down for at least a little bit, but not by hackers, but just, I guess, potentially just by people all being on it. Maybe new users or something like that. It may have been hackers, who knows, but there's one thing they can't do is turn off offline mode. So whatever games that you had that you could play offline, you could have at it. So it was just an interesting yet weird turn of events that hopefully nothing happened between that. So
most of what I saw about this whole thing was it seemed like it only lasted. I think they reportedly said it lasted for about 4 hours.
Yeah.
So this isn't something that was like, you know, a massive data dump. You had to be one of those people who accidentally logged into someone else's account. And it seemed like it was, from what I've read, and obviously Valve hasn't like formally addressed each individual user affected to let them know how they've been affected. But from what I've gathered from news outlets is that it seems like it lasted 4 hours. It was random, 100% random, just to some sort of weird glitch or bug in there on their end. That whenever you booted up Steam, it logged you into a different account, some random person's account. So a couple of things there. Anyone listening who has a Steam account, just because you haven't logged in a year or two doesn't mean you may not have been affected. Definitely anybody's accounts, I think, were game. You know, anyone from Russia could accidentally log into someone's account in America. So you may want to take a look at that. Maybe just like change your Steam password or something. I don't think it's really going to matter at this point because it's not like people got your passwords and informations and login credentials. They automatically were randomly logged into your account. So, but I mean, you know, who knows? Changing your password is never, you know, it's never a bad idea. So, and the other thing was that, again, it lasted for about 4 hours. So that's actually a pretty small window. And it seemed like it happened kind of in the middle of the day. So there was likely not a lot of random traffic into other people's accounts, and Valve did patch it up pretty quickly. But still, I'd like to know if someone accidentally logged into my account. I think Valve should do something, certainly notify people like what Target did. I was actually one of the people affected by the Target breach, and I got an email. They offered like a free year's worth of credit fraud, identity theft, like preventative services. So I don't think Valve would do something like that, but certainly I would like to know if my account was affected. I'm sure you'd like to know as well.
Yeah, of course.
Let's see. Other news. Again, this is a pretty slow week. As a big Mass Effect fan, I've got to say I'm a bit worried by the news of one of their quote-unquote top developers leaving. This isn't a developer that it's like Hideo Kojima or Shigeru Miyamoto. Obviously, those are both Japanese developers, but a top developer named Chris Wynn left BioWare about a week ago, I guess, via a tweet. And he was working on Mass Effect Andromeda, the fourth installment for the Mass Effect series, which is supposedly due out the holiday time, maybe fall of 2016, somewhere around there, quarter four 2016. And I gotta say, that worries me a bit. Grant, like I said before, I don't really know who this Chris Wynn guy is. I'm not really sure what else to attribute to him. What did he, you know, was he a staple member, a key developer for the Dragon Age series or the original Mass Effect games? So I don't really know how much of an impact this is going to have, but it has me worried because the last time this happened was when Drew Caperjian, I think I'm saying his name right, probably butchered it, the lead writer and story developer for the original Mass Effect games left early on in Mass Effect 3's development cycle. And, well, you know where that went, that ridiculous ending. In fact, the whole game of Mass Effect 3, which was just made not a lot of sense to me and was, in my opinion, by far the worst game of that series. That one took a really sour turn, and that was with one of the key members of the team leaving to go on and do other things. Now, the good thing is I'm pretty sure Drew is back with the company. That happened a few months ago, I believe, and he's working on Andromeda. I may be wrong on that one, so people out there listening may want to actually Google that. It's been a few months since I've read that, but I remember reading that thinking, oh, that's pretty awesome. Anyway, this has me a bit worried for Andromeda. There's still a year's worth of development, but losing a top developer is... it's never exactly going to be easy, especially in the middle of a big AAA franchise like Mass Effect and putting out their pretty hyped next gen, I guess not next gen, but current gen sequel to Mass Effect 3. It's got a lot riding on the shoulders for BioWare and for really that Mass Effect team. see if they can kind of continue this series without Commander Shepard. Although, who knows, that character might be back. But yeah, it definitely is a little unnerving and gets me a little worried to see a top developer leave. I mean, it's kind of like Hideo Kojima leaving Konami. Oh, wait. That definitely happened.
Yeah, it happened. We'll never know what
happened. What do you think about this, Troy?
It's sad to see a developer leave, especially with a game that needs a promising, like, I guess this would be a reboot. I don't think it's continuing on with the Shepard story at all. I don't think, but I don't have a good feeling about it. But at the same time, looking at what he previously worked on, because he was both a producer for Microsoft and Epic Games, so he had a hand in Gears of War. So okay. I'm wondering which Gears of War he had a hand in. Because, I mean, if it was Gears of War Judgment, then we'd be okay. It'd be fine. Even if it was Gears of War, parts of Gears of War 3, we'd be okay with him possibly taking a lead. I mean, they haven't even told us why he's leaving. You know, maybe it's just he had a better job. Because, I mean, he tweeted out that he is leaving both BioWare and Mass Effect Andromeda. So, you know, who knows? He may have gotten an offer from somebody else. Maybe some health issues or something. Maybe some health issues in his family or something like that. So, but all we can do is just try and look on the bright side. It's set for a holiday 2016 release, so we got a whole another year potentially to even look forward to this game. So we won't know how this has affected us yet. And we probably won't know until the game actually comes out, and then there'll be a massive leak of, you know, oh, this is what the game was before he left, and now it's like this. You know, they were using chainsaw guns in this version, and now they're not. So, I mean, he may decide to disclose why. He may not have a non-disclosure agreement like Kojima does now with Konami. He can never, ever say what had happened between them. But I'm not going to get my hopes let down too much, but it's just it kind of hurts to see a promising game lose a developer.
Yeah, that's definitely the same opinion I was feeling when I read this. And this was actually just today, Tuesday, December 29th, right? Was that today or was that yesterday?
It was yesterday. 28th. It was yesterday on the 28th, yeah.
28th, my apologies. Yeah, so anything else catch your eye, Troy, this past week or two, since we've basically been gone for 2 weeks?
I mean, there was nothing really.
Did you see, how about this? Did you see Star Wars?
Yes.
What did you think about it? Just real quick. I know this isn't a film review podcast, but it is awfully nerdy thing, and we are hosts of a video game podcast, so that kind of makes us entitled to be, you know, or not entitled, but allowed to talk about things like a Star Wars review on our podcast. So what did you think about it?
It's J.J. Abrams doing J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
He remixed both, well, actually he remixed all three of, well, episodes 4, 5, and 6 into one movie. And it gave me a movie that, okay, well, that was good for what it was. I can't wait to see what episodes 8 and 9 do with new directors and probably a more involved story, because I see a lot of people that don't particularly like this movie because it's just a rehash of the other three. But I feel like you also have a lot of people younger than us that grew up on the prequels. They didn't grow up with the other ones. They didn't have the other ones, really. They had the prequels. So give them a retelling of that to, you know, catch us in it and catch them in it, and then let the other two directors actually go in depth with the story. You know, JJ just set it up. The other guys will knock it down. Other than that, it did have some moments of just, oh, that's mighty convenient. That's how you get out of this. But all in all, I do gotta say, I have to say that the new cast that they brought in worked really well, and it was nice to actually see Harrison Ford be back to the Harrison Ford that we saw in Star Wars back those many, many years ago. I mean, he looked younger than he did in Crystal Skull, and that was 10 years ago. I don't know how you do that. I mean, I don't know if Lucas CG'd him up a little bit more or something for Indiana Jones or whatever, but it was a good movie, not greatest movie of the year or anything like that, but it was a good movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of the consensus that I had too, that I wanted more originality, and no spoilers here, and this is going to be real brief. But I wanted a bit more originality because I felt like all six films tell a very unique story, whereas this one kind of, like you said, rehashed the original trilogy, mostly the first one.
Yeah.
And there was a ton of really great characters that have been introduced that I am so excited for. And, you know, they are fantastic. And I can't believe that these are Star Wars characters, because that has been one of the biggest flaws in the Star Wars movies. Is not that the characters are bad, but that the actors portraying them are typically not that great. There's some standout ones, obviously Harrison Ford, I think Ewan McGregor, even Liam Neeson from the prequels. But most of the actors just didn't really do that great of a job there at Star Wars, but the movies themselves were so fantastic that it kind of made up for it. These films now, though, have some wonderful actors and some wonderful characters to go along to boot, and that's fantastic, but I was awfully let down that it was a bit of a setup shot as opposed to a slam dunk, and that bothered me. I feel like most of the pretty hardcore fans like myself, like you, are going to be split about 50-50. A lot of them are going to say, well, I kind of wanted a little more originality. Other fans are going to be like, this is exactly the jumping off point that we need given the history of these films. So I think it's a great first step. It's quite a safe first step. And I think it's a really good movie. I just didn't think it was a very strong Star Wars movie, in my opinion. But obviously, we've seen much worse Star Wars movies. So this is certainly one of the better ones. But I was just looking for a little something more. But it's not a bad movie. I still really enjoyed it. I had a ton of fun at the movie theater. And there were some great moments throughout that film. Some great imagery, that kind of thing. So I definitely had a blast with it. But I think the last time we recorded, we were actually a 2 days before the premiere, so we haven't really had a chance to talk about it on air or even really to each other. So yeah, I'm glad you liked it. I actually had a lot of fun with it too. When I first went to the theater, I was like a little frustrated, but then as it sank in more, I was like, you know what, I'm okay with this. There's some flaws, sure, and I'm glad there's a new director taking it over rather than JJ, and I'm pretty confident that director is going to be pretty good. So it's funny though. Yeah, within these last 2 weeks that film has been out, we've been hearing these rumors of, I don't know if you saw them, Star Wars 1313 possibly being revisited. I think it was Kathleen Kennedy, the one who's, I think that's her name, whoever the lady is in charge of Star Wars, essentially now, mentioned that they hadn't forgotten about that IP and that property. Someone had asked her about the video game licenses, and she had mentioned that licenses like Star Wars 1313, which most people assumed was scrap when Disney bought the rights to Star Wars, obviously bought the whole franchise and then sold off the video game rights to Electronic Arts. Most people, I think, assumed that was just completely dead because that studio got dissolved. But she did mention that they were revisiting those IPs like Star Wars 1313 to see if they could do anything with it. Troy, do you think Star Wars 1313 would be something you'd be interested in? Do you remember that game?
Yeah, except for I'm trying to remember the time frame for it, and I can't remember what that was because
I believe it was the time frame for when it was the trailer was released.
Oh no! Well, I know that was a couple of years ago. I'm trying to think about when the game's supposed to be taking place.
It was, I believe it was 2012 when the trailer was released, because if you remember, it was the same E3 that we saw Watch Dogs for the first time.
Yeah.
And it was, I remember it being strange because there were a handful of games thrown off as quote unquote next gen games, but there were at the time no announcements for these next gen consoles. Because we didn't get our first announcements until 2013 in February when Sony first unveiled the PS4. And then later when at E3 when Microsoft showed off the Xbox One and Sony reconfirmed the PS4. So I think it was 2012 because I remember that being like a weird E3 seeing a handful of these next-gen games, quote-unquote, that, you know, were having to run on 3 GTX 560 Ti's or whatever in order to just get the graphics to produce. And Watch Dogs is one of them, I believe. 1313 was one of them as well.
Yeah.
But were you excited for that game?
It was a Star Wars game. I mean, I think it was like taking some stuff from like Uncharted and stuff with like the cover system and everything, but giving you force powers like Force Unleashed, except maybe not as powerful as Force Unleashed as well. So I was okay with it. I mean, you know, I'd much rather see something like another Rogue Squadron or X-Wing TIE Fighter or whatever, something like that, more than anything. But, you know, it was interesting, I guess. It looked like it was going to be an interesting game. And as long as it was set during an interesting time, you know, it would have been a good game, hopefully. But, you know, then it got scrapped. And I just didn't have enough interest to care that it got scrapped. And once it did get scrapped, I was like, okay, well, on to other games that are actually coming out. So hearing that it may potentially come out again is like, well, this may be not our generation's Duke Nukem Forever or anything like that, but you know, it could end up be something to that extent where, you know, they had so much promise before and then they just rushed and put something out that's not as great as it was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, you hope they don't do that, but at the same time, you have a feeling that they might end up doing something like that.
I think now is the perfect time with these new consoles, with the success of Tomb Raider, at least critically. I know the sales haven't been that great, but obviously Uncharted with games even like The Order 1886 kind of copying that formula. I think now is the perfect time to get this game. Unfortunately, saying now is the perfect time is kind of a bummer because even if they started this game, let's say right now, it would probably be a year, if not two. We'd be looking at 2017, and it may seem a bit archaic by then. But I'm looking it up actually right now. Kathleen Kennedy was her name, and her quote is unbelievable in response to the concept art. And she actually apparently brought up 1313 herself. But anyway, she said, so our attitude is we don't want to throw any of that stuff away. It's gold. And it's something we're spending a lot of time looking at, pouring through, discussing, and we may very well develop those things further. We definitely want to. So it definitely sounds like there's a bunch of interest inside of Disney towards this IP, towards this game. And I personally would love to see it. Uncharted is fantastic. And this game, it kind of appears like you're a bounty hunter in the Uncharted style. You're hiding behind cover, you're shooting stuff, big explosions. I mean, if you go back and watch that YouTube trailer, it's very Uncharted-like. So, an Uncharted game set in the Star Wars universe that's dark and gritty? Yeah, sign me up. I would totally be for that. But I thought that was interesting that as Star Wars came out, that started to resurface and recirculate. Even though Battlefront was back, that topic came up, Star Wars 1313, so... That was pretty interesting. Troy, anything else catch your eye over the past couple of weeks, or you want to jump into GameCube?
The only other thing is that there's potentially a release date for the PC version of Tomb Raider.
That's right.
The thing I saw last time was that it's actually coming to Steam in January of 2016. So, yeah, right around next month. People could be potentially be playing the PC version of Tomb Raider, Rise of Tomb Raider. So it's interesting that it's going to be out that soon on PC. But at the same time, it's not hard to believe considering that Xbox One, PC, it's pretty much all the same.
Right.
Give them about a month on about a month, maybe a month, or maybe about 2 months on the Xbox One, depending on what day it releases in January, and then a whole nother year and PS4 gets it. So I guess that makes sense. But
there was a slip actually just a few days ago, actually right before that news story broke, and I didn't even think anything of it because I thought, well, this is probably just a filler date. But Amazon actually had listed the Rise of the Tomb Raider PC edition on January 29th. It may have been 26th. I may be remembering that incorrectly, but it had listed it for January 29th as the release date. And then a couple days later, I saw that Steam had accidentally leaked the release date. And I was like, oh, wow, maybe that was for real. And it kind of bummed me out because about 10 minutes into playing Rise of the Tomb Raider, my fiance mentioned, like, when she was playing it, because she has played it all the way through and beaten it, as I have not yet. I'm still working my way through it. But she mentioned to me that within like 10, 15 minutes playing it, she's like, man, I just kind of want to play this on PC though, because I just can't imagine like how much better it might look, or how much better the frame rate might be, et cetera. And I tried to like re-encourage her that like this game is freaking beautiful on Xbox One. Sure, it's not 60 frames per second, but it looks gorgeous. It just oozes, you know, high fidelity, the super awesome sound, and trying to re-encourage that feeling that this is a really high quality, high polished game. Don't worry about, I could have a better version, or in a perfect world, yada, yada, yada. And then I hear that the PC version comes out like a month and a half, 2 months later, maybe 2.5 months later than the Xbox One version. And I was just like, man, maybe that would have stopped me from getting this game on Xbox One. I don't know. Like, I'm not mad at it because it's great that it's coming to PC, and, you know, it's certainly a fantastic title on Xbox One, but at the same time, I was like, shoot, you know, maybe this version will be more polished, or it'll run better, or I could have gotten this game, and maybe it could have delayed my Xbox One purchase. I don't know. But I still have fun with that game, but yeah, this seems a little crazy. Curiously, now, though, if you look up Rise of the Tomb Raider on PC, at Amazon, I don't know what it is on Steam, but now it says December 30th, 2016. So, no more leaks on Amazon. And it says the PS4 version is December 30th, 2016. So, but yeah, I think that's interesting. Would you be interested in buying it again?
I don't know. I don't know if I want to do another Tomb Raider and buy it like 5 times already or get it for free a couple times and stuff. I don't know. I guess I'd have to see how it plays before, sure, I get it again, because, yeah, some things are not having good frame rate issues and stuff like that, or other problems on PC or consoles or vice versa, because... another something that also caught my eye this week was Halo Reach just came out for Xbox One backwards compatibility, and the frame rate is terrible.
Oh boy! You know, I tried to watch some of those videos.
Oh no!
And I see where they're talking about, but I wonder if part of that is all of these Halo fans are now used to 60 frames per second, and they're going back and playing these old Halo games that were not at 60 and going, oh my God, it's broken. You know, like maybe they're noticing finally that sub 30 frames per second is not very good. Because I remember Halo Reach not running that great on Xbox 360. That's a fantastic game. It's one of my favorite campaigns, and the graphics were fantastic for the 360. But I remember that engine chugging to keep up with what that game was demanding. So part of me wonders if it was kind of always like that, and now people are just discovering it after 60 frames per second has been so dominant in this generation. I don't know. It's strange. Have you had a chance to try this? Do you still have Reach?
Yeah, I have Reach. I haven't tried it yet, though. I don't know if I want to try it either. Like I said, just reading about, oh, it's running at 10 frames. Or it'll drop down to 10 frames a second. I'm like, oh no, 10 frames. 10 frames. I don't know. I mean, Reach was pretty good, but I don't know if it'll be good at 10 frames a second. So, I don't know. I may give it a shot. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe. I'm curious to see if they can patch this. You know, I don't know. It's strange because how would they patch it?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. It has to
be an Xbox One update, I guess, because it's an emulator that's running basically the 360 software and then the game inside of that. So, I'm not even sure if that's something that's, I mean, I'm sure it's patchable, yes, but it seems like it'd be a difficult patch. For sure. Although, have you done any of the backwards compatibility games on Xbox One yet? Do you download the game? Isn't that what you were saying? I think you mentioned that a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah, I haven't tried it myself, but I know the process is that you put the disc in and it recognizes the disc and it basically not it doesn't physically it doesn't download the whole game to your system. It just downloads it enough that you can actually play it. Mm-hmm. And then you have to keep putting the disc in every time. So, I mean, it's not like it's actually a full download or anything like that. It's like, it's not a download and then forget the disc. You can just play it without the disc. You have to have the disc with it. So, I mean, I'm guessing it's more of a, they're doing a proof of purchase with the disc or something like that. I have no idea. Right, yeah. But I haven't really tried it myself.
Okay. Well, that's a bummer for people out there who are big Halo Reach fans. I can't imagine there's a lot of people who are waiting for Reach. If I remember correctly, Reach was one of the games people had a lot of problems with in terms of the multiplayer. A lot of people were frustrated with the DMR. That was the first game the DMR was introduced. Many of my friends who play Halo included in that, I guess, resentment towards that game. I actually really enjoyed it. I thought the campaign was fantastic, and it was kind of the... It was Bungie's going out party, essentially, for the Halo franchise. And they really went out, in my opinion, with a bang with that game because the storyline not only was fantastic, in my opinion, really one of the first times that that team was able to do that. I'm not counting ODST because I think that was a sub-team or a different team. And that game was really, really fantastic. But in terms of the storylines for Halo 3 and Halo 2 and Halo 1, there isn't a lot of... lot of high quality content there in the story. I love Halo, but that story wasn't quite fleshed out in a way that is worthy of praise, like something like Final Fantasy might do, or Hideo Kojima might do in Metal Gear Solid, or the original Metal Gear Solid. It's not exactly the best told story out there. They certainly have depth with the characters and whatnot, but Reach kind of was that game that they finally got the facial animations correct. They got the grit correct. They got the size of the levels correct. They got the individual Spartans that were there that were technically Spartan 3s, except for the one who was a Spartan 2. They felt like they were human. They felt like they were, in a way, or almost robotic at times, but they felt like soldiers, and they felt like things were hard, and it really was a pretty powerful story. And so it's a bummer that if people want to go back and replay that on Xbox One now, that doesn't quite work that well, but this is kind of the price you pay, I guess. And not every backwards compatible game is going to be perfect, I don't think, obviously. So, hey, it's free though, so people can't really complain about free. I mean, up until now, you couldn't play the game at all on your Xbox One. So,
yeah,
the fact that you can even play it is pretty cool. Not gonna lie. All right, let's transition directly into our game queue, Troy. Troy, what you been playing, man?
So I've actually kind of picked up a couple things off the mediocre Steam sale. I mean, there really wasn't all that many great games out there or anything that I hadn't had already, you know. Mm-hmm. But I actually picked up the Devil May Cry 4 Special Edition that they released not too long ago. That, you know, it came with basically everything that was downloadable content before. It's basically a deluxe edition. And Right. Pretty good. Not bad. Looks pretty good. Plays just like a Devil May Cry game. You know, for those people that want some Devil May Cry but don't want to play the DMC reboot, you know, it's not bad. I remember playing it back in the day when it first came out on the 360, so it was really easy to get back into it. So not a problem whatsoever. It's fun so far.
And it runs pretty well too.
Yeah. I haven't had a single problem with it yet.
Okay.
And just grabbed a couple other games that I haven't really played. I got the Minecraft Story Edition from Telltale. Since they're on episode 4 and episode 5 will be this week anyway, I was like, not this week, but episode 5 will be this month or January. What?
That's just fast for Telltale.
Yeah, I know. They've been releasing episodes each month since its release in October, I believe.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was either October or September. It must have been September, but yeah, they've released an episode each month. So yeah, they've actually been pretty good with this one. I don't know why. I don't know if they've had it on the back burner for so long or something like that, but it's just been like, oh, okay, episode each month. Continuing on with episodic content, I actually grabbed the first episode of King's Quest, which I heard was pretty good.
Right.
You can't pass up a deal for the first episode for 99 cents. So, yeah, I got the first episode. But I was like, I wonder how much the season pass. Oh, it's $22 still. Now, I'll just grab the first episode at 99 cents and see how it goes. And the only other thing I picked up, well, I picked up for me and my girl, is everybody's favorite motor car soccer game, Rocket League.
Nice.
Finally picked it up for me and her. So,
do they do split screen on PC?
I don't know about that, but I picked it up so that she could have it on her PC and I could have it on mine.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So we haven't given it a shot yet. Don't know when. Maybe when I move, we'll finally give it a shot. But yeah, I was like, it's not bad. It's only $13. I'll go ahead and grab two copies of that, and so that I can have one, she can have one. So, and I figured it'd be better than waiting for the Xbox One edition because you can only play with Xbox One people anyway. So
that's true. Yeah,
it's like get it for this right now.
You might be happy you haven't actually tried that game yet, because when you do, you may get addicted to it. It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, you're right about that. Oh, and I have been playing something else that you've been having some problems getting back into.
What's that?
You know, that certain open world game that came out in November along with Tomb Raider.
Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You beat it?
Nope. Getting close. But I haven't beaten it yet. I was playing it from every so often, just doing some of the side quests and stuff. And I was like, okay, yeah, I've done enough side quests. I'm like level 30 now. I'll do some more main quest stuff, and got to interact with a couple more factions and stuff like that. And it got to the point where now stuff is starting to split off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm working with one faction, which means I have to take out the other one, and I'm having plenty of backup saves because I want to go back and see how this is going to play out with different factions and stuff like that. But right now it's like, I feel bad that I wiped out this faction. I'm glad I got a save so I can go back and do this all over again, because it's all right now, but I just want to see it from the other side.
Right.
Yeah. But it's not bad. It's just the story is kind of lacking, and it went a direction that I didn't see coming in a good way and in a bad way. So, yeah. And, you know, it's just something to finally finish playing. You know, we spent all that money for it, all $40-something dollars on it. So, yeah, might as well finish playing it and see how that goes.
Have you, you mentioned King's Quest earlier. Have you had a chance to actually boot it up and try it?
No. That only went on sale yesterday, so I haven't actually installed it just yet.
Okay. It was the one of two free games on PS Plus this month, and it's only the first episode. Yeah. So a month or two ago, I think maybe November, it must have been November, because I know I was able to get this. They gave out The Walking Dead Season 2 complete for free. So Sony has a history of giving out the complete, you know, packages of these episodic content games. And I think Tales of the Borderlands, perhaps, I got for free as well. I don't know how, and that may be the complete season. But anyway, so they have a history of doing that. But this time, for King's Quest, they only released the first episode. And it kind of makes sense now that you tell me that that Steam had it on sale for $1. So that's an awesome deal too. I mean, $1 versus free is practically the same thing. I would have totally bought it if I saw it on $1 on Steam as well, because that's one of the games I wanted to try. So I actually did get a chance to play it. Unfortunately, and yes, I did say unfortunately, I didn't really see the appeal. And I think our generation is a touch too young for the nostalgia feeling of King's Quest. Mm-hmm. So perhaps it's not tailored to us, but I just felt like the game looks old. The textures seem washed out, and maybe that's just because I'm playing a PS4, but that's a powerful console. Both of those consoles are strong. And so it seems to run really well at 60 frames per second. I'm sure it's at 1080p, but a lot of the geometric detail, so things like rocks, have that very early 2000s, if not late 90s, look to them where they don't quite look realistic. Not even the textures and stuff. Like, the roundness of them is what I'm talking about, is kind of sharp. So rocks kind of look more like blocks and triangles as opposed to smooth, round objects. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's an interesting story with a narrator, think Bastion, with the narrator's navigating a lot of the things that you're doing, and I believe it's a prequel to the original King's Quest games. It's the king narrating the events of the player, and I believe the player is actually the king because it's being narrated as, oh, when I was young and I had to fight the dragon, that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, and there's a lot of cheesy effects going on, and the appeal was not directed at a gamer like me. So maybe it will be directed more towards other gamers who may like that more adventure style, that silly style. Maybe even children actually like this kind of game because it is very silly. But personally, I just couldn't get into it. I stopped playing about 20 to 30 minutes into it. I was pretty jazzed to try it. And about, like I said, 30 minutes into it, I was a little like, okay, I'm done with this. It's not quite like The Walking Dead and stuff and Tales of the Borderlands and those other Telltale games, adventure games at least, that kind of pull you along this narrative and allow you to make the choices and sometimes do things like quick time events, that kind of thing. This is much more of a in-control adventure game. So you're running around an area, you're looking for switches, you're trying to solve puzzles. And I felt like at least in those 20, 30 minutes, so I don't want to judge the whole game on this because maybe it gets better, but in those at least 20, 30 minutes, I found a lot of the stuff to be awfully boring and a bit redundant and a bit aggravating. So, like, again, maybe that stuff changes later. So if people out there who like this game, I'm not 100% bashing it. I'm just saying for me personally, it was not clicking. So this is not Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5. This is a game that's just not meant for me. So Troy, you actually might like it more because you seem like you like those adventure games, at least the really good Telltale ones anyway. So
yeah,
maybe you'll like it. It is a bit different from those Telltale formulas though. So
yeah, we'll give it a shot. Like I said, 99 cents, you clearly can't be upset if it was a bad game or not. It's like, oh, well.
Sure.
If it's bad.
And
it's
I would guess that first episode is probably an hour to two long, if not 2 hours. So you definitely would probably get your money's worth for that. So yeah, it was interesting that you said that because I was like, oh, I got King's Quest. I was able to actually try it. So I have been playing mostly The Order 1886 and Rocket League on PS4. I have all but given up on Fallout. My brother asks me almost every day, have you played Fallout again? Have you gone back to Fallout? Have you done this? Have you done that? And I'm like, no, I just can't. I don't have any urge to go back. And it sucks because I was so hyped for that game and it's a pretty good game. And it's not a pretty good game. It's a fantastic game. And I was having so much fun with it and I just got distracted. And the longer I stood away, the worse the relationship got. And I don't want to go back. Like, I feel like I'm going to be so lost. Like, how do I do VATS? What are VATS? I don't even understand anymore. So, I don't know. Maybe one day when all of these games that I've gotten are beaten, including Tomb Raider, and I don't know. It's still there. I was at my brother's house the other night, and he was playing it, and he just bought a brand new graphics card, a GTX 960 4GB edition. He found a sale on it at Best Buy. So not a super high-end card, but that's still a pretty good card nonetheless. And it was able to run it at ultra 1080p, 60 frames per second, super solid. And watching that made me go, ooh, kind of makes me want to play Fallout again. But other than that, I have been playing, like I said, The Order 1886 and Rocket League. Rocket League is still fantastic. Just about all of the people I normally play games with have now gotten PS4s, and all of which have gotten Rocket League. So we were able to do 3v3s the other night, and just all three of us in a party playing 3v3. And one of our particular friends, in fact, Matt Griffin, who was on this show not too long ago, probably a couple months ago, who was telling us about Rocket League for the first time on our show, he's actually very good at Rocket League. And he's so good that none of the team, no matter whose team he was on, even if he was playing with the two noobs, because I'm an amateur, I'm not quite a noob anymore, but I'm still an amateur who's very, very decent. That's it. Like, not, I'm not a good player at all. I'm like subpar decent player. Anyway, no matter what whose team Matt was on, he would just destroy the other team, and he wasn't even trying. So we had this bright idea. We would do 4v2. And he would take the worst of the two brand new players, and the rest of us, the four of us, would go after him. And even 2v4, he was still kicking our butt. So we dedicated one of our players to just ram his car, like, over and over again, just chase him down. And that was the only way we could beat him.
Jesus.
He's just that good. Even sometimes 1v4, because the other noob would get destroyed, or his car would blow up, or that kind of thing. Matt would still kill us. So, Matt Griffin, if you listen to this, well played, sir. Other than that, I've been playing The Order 1886, and the more I play that game, the more respect that I have for it. And it has some major gaping flaws. It really, really idolizes Uncharted. And the gameplay mechanics, they're just not quite there like Uncharted, like Tomb Raider has done. Tomb Raider clearly now idolizes Uncharted, but it takes what Uncharted does and just amplifies it and expands it and does it so much better, in my opinion. Tomb Raider really is fantastic. But this game, like, it wants so hard to be that, and I feel like it's just not quite reaching that ledge. It's kind of grasping at some straws. However, this environment and this story are it's so unique and so fascinating. There's multiple factions that are kind of warring. There's some really interesting plot twists. Obviously, you have the Lycans, the werewolves. At first, I thought it was just half-breeds. They called them half-breeds. And later, you find out it's much more to these half-breeds than you originally thought. And there's some really intense scenes. And my God, the facial animations for the werewolves are, like, better than the facial animations for the real characters. I was absolutely blown away. The transitions from cutscene to gameplay are fantastic. They absolutely, that was what they were going for, if you remember. They were going for that cinematic feel, and they absolutely nailed it. There were a couple times where I forgot to pick the controller back up when the game, quote-unquote, started, because I thought I was still in the cutscene. So the presentation quality is fantastic. That story, I don't really want to say the story is fantastic. It's really good, but that environment that the story is laid within is fantastic, and it is really interesting. The setting is really interesting. They have fascinating characters. It just, the gameplay part, which is awful small. It is a very small slice of gameplay in this game. You will probably spend more time watching cutscenes. There were numerous times where I was sitting with my fiance on the couch joking, saying, "Watch. Let's count how many times all of that I do is run from point A to point B and go to a cutscene." I shit you not, it happened 4 times in a row. I would run from one end of the hallway to the next. Maybe you could say a fast walk. Hear a couple of different things while I was walking, and then boom, cutscene. The cutscene would last for maybe 60 seconds to 80 seconds, and then boom, walk down a corridor, take a right, cutscene. And this happened 4 times in a row, and I can totally see why people bash that game for things like that, because that really is inexcusable, in my opinion. There's not enough game there for me to justify that game as a $60 purchase, but I did not get it for $60. I was able to grab it for $9.99. So if anybody out there listening has a PS4, you're really interested in late 1800 werewolf story elements, what would you call that setting? They have a name for it. Regardless, if you're really interested in that late 1800s style, that industrial steampunk style, that maybe steampunk, but it's not quite steampunk, I guess. It's not quite Final Fantasy VII steampunk in that regard. Yeah. But if you're into that industrial style, late 1800s, dark, gritty storyline with things like, with the supernatural, like werewolves, etc., and you can find this game for $10, maybe even $15, it's definitely worth a pickup and worth a complete playthrough. Once you're done, you can use the game as a showpiece later. You know, if your friends come over, if your family members come over, your dad comes over and is like, what are you doing playing these stupid games? You could show him this game and he would be like, wow, that looks really fantastic. But overall, it's not a really good game because there's not a lot of game there. So if you can look at it more as an interactive experience for $10, certainly. And I really want to get Rise for the Xbox One if I can find it for like $9.99, because I would love to compare Rise to The Order 1886 and see how those experiences are the same and how they are different, to see if they really are. I believe they are. I believe they're the same thing. They are those interactive movies, essentially, that are tech showcases for those consoles. So I'd like to get Rise one day. I don't want to get it for PC because I feel like that'd be a little bit cheating. So
did you want it for PC? Because I'm pretty sure. Actually, I know it's on the Steam sale right now for probably about $10.
Yeah, I think it was 13. I noticed it earlier before we started recording, but I would prefer to get it on Xbox One so I could see it just like The Order 1886 is to compare. So I'll be on the lookout for that. I'd like to try that now that I have somewhat of an appreciation for The Order 1886. I certainly want to play through and finish this game. And then I'm going to move on to Killzone Shadowfall, which I'm not super excited about, unfortunately. I was able to get that one for $10 as well on Black Friday. So, and which is strange because that game has a much more gameplay to it than The Order 1886 does. But man, I don't know. I'm not really excited. Maybe it's because I haven't really dived into Killzone before, and I don't really know. It feels a lot like Halo, and that was obviously intended because that was Sony's attempt at targeting that Halo fan demographic. But I don't know, the first hour or two that I played, I just didn't really get a feeling of, yeah, I want to do this. Granted, there's a lot of setting up going on in that hour and a half, so I definitely want to give it more time. But that's what's on the plate for after The Order, and then at that point I'll finally make it back to Tomb Raider. So have you had a chance to check out Ark by any chance on Xbox One?
No, I have not. I didn't get into the preview for it or anything like that. And I've only got like a couple friends I only have like one friend on there playing it right now. I got a couple friends that play it on Steam. Mm. Yeah, I wasn't lucky enough to get that. I mean, I guess I'm not lucky, but at the same time, I just wasn't. I don't know. I'm not all that thrilled on playing it.
Sure, yeah.
It's just another survival game. With dinosaurs. So, I mean, it's like, oh, okay. I mean, I have like things like Rust and there's the DayZ mod or anything you can play on there. So, you know, there's other games like that. So it's like, oh, well, if I don't get it, I don't get it. If I do end up in it, I'm in it. I wasn't really all that excited for it. And I was wrong. Rise is $6 on Steam. So are you sure don't want to do it on Steam? Because it's probably at the right price right now.
It probably is. And I'll probably regret it if I don't get it. But yeah, I definitely want to try and get it on Xbox One. Because I like to compare.
Regret it on getting it in the first place.
I wanted to bring up Ark because I've noticed a lot of my friends have actually jumped over to buy that early access pack because if people out there listening, it's in early access for Xbox One. I believe it's $36.99 or $34.99. Oh. It's about $35, give or take a few dollars. And what the early access pack does, it allows you to go ahead and buy the game as it is right now, which you could consider alpha, and you kind of help play the game just like as you would any other game, and your feedback is appreciated and is asked for, and the developer, you're attempting to help the developer not only finish the game through bug reports, through finding glitches, that kind of thing, but you're also giving them money in advance. So think of it like pre-ordering so that they can get this game out when they say it's supposed to be out. So think of it like pre-ordering, but obviously not putting down $5 at GameStop and then coming back and paying full price later. This is paying about 35 bucks for a soon to be $60 game when it comes out in April, or maybe it's late spring next year is when it's supposed to come out for PS4 officially, as well as PC officially and Xbox One officially. If you wait till then, you'll probably be paying $60. If you jump on the bandwagon now, you can get it for almost half off. But I wanted to bring it up because lots of my friends jumped on this and have been playing it and have been having, I can only assume, a really great time. I haven't had a chance to actually ask any of them what they think of the game, but I see them on it all the time. That's not something I normally see if the game is bad. And if they were all willing to throw this money down on this game, because you have to pay about 35 bucks to play it longer than a couple hours, because I think they have like a game preview similar to what the Xbox One and Microsoft did with Elite Dangerous, which was another early access title. It seems as if people are really, really enjoying the Xbox One version. Even a couple of my friends who prefer to play on PS4, they've actually been playing this game on Xbox One. They've been switching over. So I personally know it's coming out for PS4. It's going to have PlayStation VR support. And I'm really curious about getting PlayStation VR. So I want to wait. And now that I have a PS4, I want to lean more towards third-party games on PS4 than Xbox One, because I've seen some Reddit reports on Ark not running very well on Xbox One. However, it supposedly doesn't run very well on PC either. So this is an alpha game. I'm not trying to say that as a negative to people out there who are interested in this game. Remember, it is early access. You're getting it for a discount, and the game is not fully optimized. It's not fully finished yet. And actually, good news, I read this just yesterday, that a lot of the console optimizations, in order to get the console version running as well as it is, a lot of those are coming over to Windows 10 PC versions, because there are a lot of the same optimizations. So people out there playing on PC, you're actually going to get a more polished product. And I believe that's actually on sale on PC as well, in the Steam sale. The early access program is on sale. But yeah, I wanted to bring that up because it seems like a lot of my friends are having a really good time with that game. And if anybody out there who maybe you only have an Xbox One, maybe you have all of the consoles, and maybe you weren't quite sold on getting it for PC, check it out on Xbox One. It seems to be at least fun enough for about $30, $35 early access program. So whether or not everything that you do from this point on until final release is going to transfer, I don't know. That'd be something you need to check out the forums and read, you know, things and messages from the developer. I would assume that they would. But yeah, it seems like it's a pretty good game. So definitely check that out.
Yeah, I may give it a shot.
Anything else you've been playing, Troy?
No.
Or you wanted to talk about?
Nah. Everything's the same. Rainbow Six, Destiny, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I did play a little GTA the other night, and it's still a good game, you know? It's still a good game.
Surprise about that. It's still a good game.
It's still a good game. They've done a bunch of new update stuff. So their latest big update, obviously their huge one was Heist earlier this year that everyone was waiting for. But they did do another big, quote-unquote, big update. It's not quite as big as Heist, but it added a bunch of new missions in GTA Online. They did things like Christmas bonus, so you got a bunch of snacks, a bunch of new helmets or hats, sweaters that you could wear, that kind of thing. And they added in, the best way I can describe it is kind of like mafia mode or a mafia mission type. And what you can do is one player can assign other players as bodyguards. And once you do that, the bodyguards will accumulate money accumulate more money as long as the main mobster, whoever player A is, stays alive. So they've kind of added some really interesting elements, and the more that character dies, which of course was happening in our game left and right, our boss was getting murdered left and right. So our pay kept going down dramatically, and we ended up getting like 4,000 bucks for missions or something. It was crazy. But if you do that, you get bonuses for staying with the boss player. So if you're riding a car with him, you'll get, you know, $400 or $500 every couple of minutes, that kind of thing. So if you guys stay together and you do missions, it's trying to reward these groups for doing that. And a lot of these missions are live missions in the main open world lobbies of GTA Online. So rather than going into a private lobby and doing a mission and having a cutscene, you'll just get a phone call with all the other 16, 32 players in that city, that lobby that you're in. And all those other players will basically be allowed to kind of stop you on your mission, and they'll actually be alerted to your position, that kind of thing. So it makes it awfully hectic, but it's pretty fun. It's, like I said, it's still a good game. Definitely go check out some of the... Oh, Snow is back. It may be gone by now, but last year Rockstar introduced snow to GTA Online. So all the roads, the buildings, the trees are covered in snow. You can pick up snowballs. You can throw snowballs. Try to land a plane in the snow is like impossible because you can't see the runway. So go try that, and it's back in GTA Online now. Actually, it may be gone by now, but it was there a couple of days ago, and it's wildly fun. If you can catch it, last year they did it two or three times over the course of a couple of weeks. So it was like weather. It was like inclement weather. They would tweet out, oh, there's snow. The forecast is showing snow this weekend, which was a nod to the fact that they were going to activate that patch on that upcoming week. So they may do it again if it's not live now, but if you can find it, you get a chance to jump in there. It's a fun time playing in the snow in GTA Online. It's pretty cool. Make sure you put your off-road tires in your cars though, because it will handle like poop. Troy, you got anything you want to look forward to? Is there anything coming out?
Besides XCOM coming out soon.
Oh, did you pre-order that yet?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
I was able to get it for $31. So...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you were. I think it's probably, it might be that same price still. Well, The Division's $34. Dark Souls is $32. Yes, XCOM is $31.11.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, definitely. I'm kind of jazzed about that game. Pretty jazzed. I'm excited to get back into XCOM.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah. When's that come out?
February.
Okay, so it's right around the corner, about a month and a half. So I'm excited for that one. I'm really, really excited for that one. That one, I'm still excited for Uncharted, obviously, which got delayed. Have we talked about that? That got delayed another month, unfortunately. But hey, more polish is more polish. So excited about that. I'm excited for VR coming out. There was some stuff talking about the PlayStation VR and the Vive headset by HTC supposedly has revolutionary new technology they're going to show off at CES, which is in January, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That has supposedly solved a bunch of problems. So it'd be interesting to see with this VR thing. We haven't really talked a lot about VR, mostly because neither of us have really had a chance to try VR other than Google Cardboard. But yeah, I'm really curious to see what HTC has to say about Vive. When Vive is their headset, they're working with Valve, Alan. And again, they're going to show that off at CES. So that's something to look forward to. CES is right around the corner. Maybe we'll see some 4K TVs, some 8K TVs.
Oh, great. Yeah. More stuff people spend money on that's useless.
Yeah, I really hope these VR headsets are at least shown and maybe given concrete release dates and pricing. That's going to be key.
Yeah, the price will be the key.
Yeah, I have a feeling Morpheus or PlayStation VR is going to launch for $499. That's my gut feeling. I think if they're smart, they'll drop it for $399. People may think I'm crazy. That's way too much money for some goggles. But you got to remember, the PlayStation VR has its own dedicated CPU. It's literally, when you buy this thing, you get the headset and you get a box about the size of a Wii U. And a Wii U is about the size of the Nintendo Wii, so I'm sure most people out there listening have seen the Nintendo Wii. And this box has a dedicated processor in it, essentially a GPU and a CPU, that helps the PS4 process these games. And the way you hook this up is the headset plugs into the box that you get. The box then plugs into the PS4, and your PS4 runs into your TV. And it also allows other people to interact with you via second controllers, via the PS4 and the TV, while you're wearing your headset. So you're not just getting a headset like Samsung Galaxy Gear VR, which is only $99 and no screen, because the screen is your phone in that case. You're getting the headset, you're getting the screen, probably some sort of headphones, as well as a CPU, GPU box. So that one, my guess, is going to be $499. Oculus is probably going to be $399, maybe $350. HTC Vive is probably going to try to be the more quote unquote premium, and it's probably going to hit $399 as well. So that's my guesses. But yeah, prices are going to be key. So if they can hit $299, that's probably the sweet spot, just like the consoles right now, which are flying off the shelves because they're $299.
Yeah, I was about to say, good luck. Because, I mean, that would be nice. It would be nice if they were equal to console price, but I don't think it's going to be that easy.
Hey, I don't either. I don't either.
Not at first, anyway.
And the good thing with Oculus, at least, is they've announced support with Microsoft and the Xbox One. So you won't get full VR, but you will be able to kind of test out those goggles. That headset with Xbox One. So that's cool. It's something to look forward to. Look for those at CES, which is coming up in probably less than a month at this point. So let's probably wrap up the show now. Troy, you got any plans for New Year's Eve?
Not really.
Kick back and relax.
Yeah, especially since there was some sort of concert. I think Lauryn Hill's supposed to be in Columbia, and people were like, oh, why don't you go? No, I don't know about that one. It's free for one. So, yeah, I don't know, because there's going to be a lot of people there. So I'm not entirely sure, but just kick back and relax. So
That's cool. We are planning on going up to Maryland for our New Year's Eve, and hopefully play a bunch of Mario Kart with some good friends of ours. I'm going to take my Wii U up there. I got a third Wii U controller for Christmas. Just the Wii Remote Plus, essentially, is what
okay.
I got. So I've got two of those and obviously the tablet. So I've got three controllers now, so I'm going to take that up there with me to Maryland. And hopefully some of us can get to play some Mario Kart 8. So that should be fun. But other than that, again, we're just gonna kind of kick back and relax. Nothing too big. We're not gonna go out. We're not gonna do crazy. We're just gonna enjoy the new year, a little bit of video games, and probably a little bit of alcohol as well. But that's okay. We can do that. It's legal.
You're old enough. Yeah, it's fine.
As always, if you guys listen into this, like what you see, like what you hear, please give us a thumbs up, a like, a review, and/or a rating to show us some support. Feel free to subscribe via iTunes, via Podcast Addict, which is my recommendation for Androids, or simply via Podomatic.com. Thank you guys for listening, and we will catch you guys next year.